recording, lets everybody who's logged in knows that it's being recorded, is what it was down to.
I'm thinking there's another button here I'm supposed to push, but is it just the record button?
Just the record room?
Mm-hmm. System? Okay.
Okay. I would like to call to order the Finance Judiciary Committee tonight, Thursday, December 7th, 2023, at 6:30 p.m. Any changes to the agenda?
No.
No changes. Any public comments not listed on the agenda?
Somebody's on the line, or is there not?
Okay, we'll go with no. Personnel manual update, City Administrator Cano.
Yes, ma'am. So before the committee tonight is an updated personnel manual. The city's original manual, the last update was 1998. So we started looking at it saying, do we want to try to update the current manual or do we go a different route? And ultimately what was recommended by legal counsel and what we went with was our insurance company has a default kind of a template for a personnel manual. That's what we started with. We went through that, pulled some of the elements that were in our own manual that we wanted to keep, some of the lead things and whatnot. Kind of looked at both union contracts and saying, okay, are there things that we can pull into this manual and update to kind of, instead of having so many separate things, bring it all into one. We went through the manual, once we thought we had everything, we reviewed it internally, then we kicked it out to both the Police Association and APSME to get their input in on it. Neither one had any comments or input. They were comfortable with, they had a couple of clarification questions. Because the way the contracts work now, if it's talked about in a contract, it supersedes what's in the manual. Mm-hmm. So basically, their contracts rule over the manual. Uh-huh. And there were some things that are, like for APSME, that's a little more beneficial in the manual than what's in their contract. So they're like, well, what do we do in the interim? It's like, well, don't get too carried away. We'll work this out. But other than that, they didn't see anything they really want to change. Non-represented staff had a bit of time to look at it too. The big thing is just trying to get us back into compliance with current law. And that's part of why we wanted to go with the CIS manuals, because it let us periodically, they update their template, they send the updates out. So it lets us keep up with where we're up to speed with ever-changing employment law. Don't really have a ton to put in there. The one thing that's not in here that was in the employee manual is the brain blank. One of those days. Okay, let's try this again. So in the existing manual, employees have the right to appeal to the council and the committee. And based on feedback from the council, we made sure that was no longer in here. That's not in this. There is a different policy that's going to be coming separate of this that kind of addresses what my concern with that was that'll, for me, it's always been the concern of lack of that checks and balances, kind of that double check to make sure we've checked all the boxes and we're not inadvertently opening ourselves up to lawsuits. Mm-hmm. That was the part of that appeal process that appealed to me. But not necessarily the whole process. So, like I said, I'm going to bring back something that codifies how these things work internally and how we roll them through. But it's not going to be in the manual. There's not an appeal process, but it's more of a codified checklist and procedure for those types of activities. So that's kind of where we're at with that. I'm happy to answer questions if there's questions, but I don't really have a whole lot to say other than that.
Yeah, and now I can't find what I usually yellow marker it, but There's been a lot going on this week, and I have looked at it, but, and it was how something was worded. I guess we can pass on to council, and we can all look at it and decide. And then by then, I can pick it up when we go through it. I just
had a couple of, just for curiosity's sake, if you hire an employee, it's 2 years before they are considered.
2 year probationary period for non-represented staff, and the other two contracts have, I want to say APSME is a year and the police is 18 months.
I think it was,
something it, like that.
Yeah, I think it was, it started out as 12 and then it went to 18. The last, that's what I,
yeah,
last thing I remember.
Kind of remembered off the top of my head, but something like that.
Yeah, I was just real curious. Is that how, boy, that's a long time. Is that how they all do it now? I mean, I don't know.
It's so across the board. Yeah. Anywhere from 6 months to 30 months, I've seen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
For the non-represented, we've always been 2 year on initial hire and 6 months on promotion. That's just the way we've always been, so.
Yeah, no, I just was curious. I was like, wow.
Well, I can say it this way. Most people didn't behave themselves for the first year.
Well, that's true.
The second year, they
that's true. Yeah, they get comfortable. Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes sense. And then the other one was testing for a drug or whatever after an accident. No, I didn't quite understand. Does that happen immediately if an employee isn't involved in an accident? Are they immediately tested? Or is it something that sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't do it? I didn't understand that part.
That one, there's been a lot of rule change on drug testing.
Yeah.
You can and when you can't. And it's even to the point now you can't even inquire about driving record for a lot of positions. Unless
really?
Driving is a majority of what they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's just really, so like for your public works folks, you can't. But your sanitation folks, you can because most of their job is driving.
Right.
Trying to find the...
Yeah, I can't remember what...
Because there's certain programs, like if you have a commercial driving license, that's an automatic.
You have to, okay.
You know, it's part of that. Now, if Mike was driving in City or even got in an accident, I don't have a good answer for that one off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'd have to find what our policy says. And
yeah, I just, like I say, wasn't quite sure. Kind of was, obviously it didn't happen every time. Shoot, I can't find it. Anyway, I was just really curious on how that worked. Because I was thinking, well, they legalized marijuana, so if they smoked whatever the night before, or before they came to work or wherever, it wouldn't, you know, it
wouldn't be out of their system.
It wouldn't be out of their system, and
it's on page 56.
There we go.
See, Mike's already checked. Make sure it's good.
He's right on the ball.
Well, since I was used as, you know.
Oh, yeah, you probably.
Yeah. I circled it, but I didn't remember the page.
Yeah, so.
May
yeah,
record.
So we, the reasonable cause, it looks like we, you know.
Yeah.
It's basically taking marijuana and kind of treating it like how we do alcohol at work, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
And then.
I guess, so if you suspect, that's when you can test?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's under the reasonable cause on
yeah.
57.
Yep. Yeah. Well, like I say, I was just really curious because I.
But yeah, I know with like CDLs, a lot of that stuff is just automatic. There's not, because that's part of maintaining a CDL,
sure.
Not part of our policy.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that's why there's not as much in detail because. The manual makes references, and then we just defer to law versus,
sure.
You know, having a manual that's 20 years old and
sure.
It's not, it's in conflict with the law. There's
right.
No
well, and I like I said, where everything has changed so much. And
yeah, so, like, if you are a lifeguard,
yeah,
commercial driver's license, or police, and you get in an accident, it's
kind of an automatic.
Pretty much an automatic.
Okay.
Because those, yeah, the police and lifeguards are safety-sensitive position.
Okay.
That's a new, well, not new, but new as far as our manuals.
Yeah.
Way of looking at those, because you can't, you know, we can't just do random drug testing in workplace anymore.
No, I knew that, yeah.
And unless they're safety-sensitive positions, then we can.
Then you can.
Now, for us, like our CDLs, we have a company, it's an outside program that every quarter they just send us, hey, these three folks, they're gonna go in, and so you come in the morning, there's a slip on your box, says, hey, guess what?
Wow.
Head on down to Cascade Medical.
Well.
You know, and it's, yeah, like I said, it's, I think the only person that knows in advance is the public works director, because he's given the
Sure.
company those names.
I'll be darned.
Now, we have one employee, three quarters in a row, his name came up, and he was like, are y'all trying to tell me something? It's like, no, you just luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw, yeah. Okay, great, thanks, Sid. I appreciate that. Anything else? I got nothing. Yeah.
That's in case you're comfortable with it, then I'll just schedule for January to bring the council, this to the council, and start the review at the council level.
And that kind of, I did think of something that you were saying that the council was being taken out of part of this for?
For appeals, for like, if, let's say I wanted to fire Mike. Mm-hmm. Excuse my example, because he's a department head and one of the people I directly supervise. In the old manual, he had the right to appeal that decision first to this committee, and then if he didn't like the decision of this committee, then to the council. And put the council in a position trying to weigh in on personnel matters.
Yeah, that and
so what if you didn't like Mike, and you, not that you would, but just for sake, that you know picked on Mike.
Yeah.
How would that work? Because you'd have the sole. You could say, well, I don't like you. I'm done. Is there who else do they answer to? How else do they appeal besides you as the final decision?
So this gets into the whole sticky situation of this, because I don't want to put this nicely.
Yeah.
The manual put a council in a position it didn't have the authority to be in place of. Because you look at the charter, all of those final decisions are mine, mm-hmm. as the administrator. So it just said that you could appeal to the council. It didn't give the council any criteria of how to conduct those appeals, what to weigh in on, and what to do if they...
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. And it didn't give the council any criteria of what caused it to be remanded back to the administrator. There was none of that in there.
That happened when I was on the council before. And
chief of police.
Yes, and it was a real scary situation. We had absolutely no information, had nothing. It wasn't up to the council, a personnel matter. And it came to the committee, and the committee agreed with the decision, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came, he was not happy, so came to the council, and it was not fun.
Because there's not any criteria on what to appeal.
No.
And what grounds, like, did I miss a step? Did I not give due process? What did I not do?
Yeah.
And, but that same note, it's just like, well, I'll pick on someone different. Terry. We'll use Terry because that's just, let's say, you know, Terry, well, no, that's not a good example. I'm going to pick someone different because we'll use Ashley. So technically, she works for Mike, but she's not represented. So if the city went to get rid of her, Mike wanted to fire Ashley, and he goes through his process, he terminates her. She doesn't have an AFSCME, she's not represented by AFSCME nor the Police Association, because those two have built-in appeal process.
Right.
So, as it stands, she could appeal it to me and then be done. but she can't appeal it to the council. You know, is that...
No.
So she's still, they still have, you know, she has kind of a quasi-appeal, but at the end of the day, I'm the final arbitrator. And even in these other, in your other ones, it all stops with me. So, and with that, when it comes to me, let's say she appeals my decision, there is a set criteria I have to follow, saying, okay, did Mike do this? Did he do this? Did he do da-da-da? Okay, he's followed all the steps, your appeals are denied. Because then they have to say why, give a reason why.
Yeah.
And you know, with counsel, so in, like anyway, she, let's say she gets fired, she's gone, she doesn't like what happens, she can file a lawsuit against the city. That's the same thing, same right, the department heads have.
Mm-hmm.
It through all this, that's really the ultimate appeal. I believe the intent of that appeal was to make sure all the boxes were checked when the administrator doing their job, which is why I want to say that piece of that process, like we're talking about coming back as a separate policy, so it has that ability to make sure all the boxes are checked, that it's gone through two different attorneys' offices, so the administrator doesn't really have the final, that those two agencies, whether it's this, I'm thinking like the city attorney and then CIS, our insurance company, they can say, hey, you didn't follow all the steps, so you can't.
Yeah.
So that check and balance is there to protect the city without making further exposure to liability by putting the council in a position to do something they don't have the authority to do.
Yeah, and like I say, you have no idea. It's just, well, he's been fired, yeah. But you have no, okay. Then you get into personal issues, and it's like, it was crazy. Well, crazy.
Let's say, I'll use Mike as my example. Let's say he comes before the committee, and the committee's like, man, we like Mike, but we don't like you, so you know what? No, you can't fire him.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can sue the city at that point, right? At that moment, because you guys have exercised personnel authority you don't have.
We don't have, because we don't have any say over personnel.
Yeah, that's what's in the charter, so now I got the city over a barrel.
Yeah.
That's why I always felt it was meant to be more of a check and balance versus having the council to make that decision, because there was never criteria of it.
No.
And I don't know. Yeah, I think it was a first attempt at something, because this manual was put in place about the time the city switched to and added that administrator position.
Okay. Well, that, well.
You know, back at that point in time. So there really wasn't, it was meant to be a check and balance that never really was fleshed out, because it only ever happened like twice.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like that somebody's getting fired left and right either, too. I mean, it's not an issue that comes up that often. But
so how would it work the other way, like, say, Mike really liked somebody that needed to be fired? Using Mike for the...
Sure.
Yes, Mike. Or Mike. Yeah. Mike. How does that work? Like, say it was somebody that deserved to be fired, but Mike really likes that person. But they would have, and so would that person, you'd be the one that would.
Yeah, see, so the administrator, I don't have the authority. If you look at the department head level, mm-hmm. and my direct people I directly supervise, so that would bring in Kitty in this case. Those are the ones that I have the authority to discipline, hire, and fire. Below that, I don't.
It's a department head's.
It's a department head's. Now, what happens, let's say in that situation, Mike has an employee he really likes, but they stink and they need to go. What I do is tell Mike, okay, hey, here is the performance issues within your department you need to correct. And I hold Mike accountable for the actions of his subordinates at that point. That's how that works.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, makes sense. Like I said, it's The council has nothing. The only one is, what is it, the judge and you, I guess, huh?
Myself, the judge, city attorney, and city engineer.
Yeah, but as far as anything else, we don't have any, and I don't want to know. I mean, those are the things that, yeah, so.
But yeah, no, there's ways the administrator can encourage a department head to do what's right.
Take care of business, yeah.
And from my standpoint, then if the department head doesn't want to do that, well, guess what?
Yeah, then sure, then that brings up other issues.
Yeah, And then, you know, then we go through that process that way. So that's kind of how that overall works.
All right.
And I will say, originally, I was a fan of leaving it in, but over time, I'm better able to understand where the attorney was coming from and trying and finding that middle ground to still protect the peace that I think is super important.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been on the other side when you've had administrators who are heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be a check and balance in there to protect the city itself.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Okay. Anything more, Sandy?
No.
Okay. We'll go ahead and push that on up to council. And we'll go to public contracting rules update.
Yep. So it's been a number of years since the city has updated its procurement rules. Our city attorney has put together the packet for us that they do every time the state updates their rules. Because basically, we're required to follow the state's rules, and the attorney general puts out a set of rules for all the other agencies, whether it's us, whether it's county, doesn't matter, that we follow. We could create our own rules as long as they complied with the law, but it's always been much easier to take the attorney general's rules and just operate off of those. The city's been doing that for decades at this point in time, just because it's pretty simple for us. Carrie did put together a letter kind of going over what's going on in there. I don't think there was any major changes. It seems like every time the legislature gets together, they tweak dollar amounts or this mm-hmm. little thing or that little thing. So there's a lot of those tweaks in here, in this one. I'm not as up to date on this one as I would be some others, but I can answer questions. Let's see. On the second page, page 2 of 4 of her memo, she starts laying out what's changed. You got the 4 items that she pointed out. A lot of these don't, well, some of your big dollar amounts ones don't really do a lot to us because we have the council put in place our local expenditure authority limits.
Mm-hmm.
So that by itself causes a lot of things to come to council that if you went strictly by the rules, it wouldn't. You know, because if you look at, like, there's certain things, if it's under a certain dollar amount, you can directly award, don't have to go through a big process. But our rules at the $15,000, that's the hook, so more comes before the council. Really what this does is it sets out for us the process we have to go through before it comes to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we have to get 3 bids, whether we have to do a formal RFP, informal RFP. That's what a lot of this does, is that background piece before it ever gets to a committee or to council. For us, we do pretty well, almost I'd say 98% of what we do, we always just do 3 bids, period, no matter whether it's required or not. There's a lot of little things, like if you know the utility crew needs to go buy a handful of bolts, they're not going to get 3 bids on a handful.
Right.
They're going to get the handful of bolts that they need. But if it's like, you know, buying a piece of equipment or something of that nature, no matter, you know, unless it's very few times I can think of off the top of my head where you couldn't. You know, we try to get those multiple bids. Well, it's like the police department's working on redoing the facade. You know, we got 3 bids for doing the front of the building.
Yeah.
If you look at the dollar amount, by rule, we didn't actually technically have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we do anyway, just so we're making sure we're getting the best deal for our stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see, just trying to see if there's anything that's major in this one that.
So there's not a lot of changes, Jason, in this. It's pretty much, it is what it is.
She's pretty much lays it out in the four, the four changes.
Yeah.
The four refinements. So, I mean, really not a lot. I mean, there's been a number of changes. It's been a while, whether, I can't remember if it was 2013 or 2016 was the last time we did it. So we don't always update our rules. I mean, if it's something super minor, but this is finally just kind of got to that point where there's enough small changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, let's go ahead and get it updated. It doesn't change how we do, there's nothing in here that changes how we do business.
How we do business.
I mean, it's, like I said, it's, it's just a lot of small stuff.
Well, that's all I saw. I mean, I didn't see anything major fly up at me in reading her thing. Did you, Sandy? Did you?
Honestly, I didn't get it very good. I have not. I've looked at it and I'd start in something else.
If you ever have trouble sleeping, you're a great.
Yeah, for changing that?
Yeah, that because if you look, it's like, oh my, oh.
Well, usually I can get through. It's just been, like I said, it's been a very busy couple of weeks.
I read what Carrie did and where it said, what did it say? Update contracts anyway and at least 5 years, and that's always done. That's you guys are, it happens.
Yeah, we took that. I've always taken the stance of what is not the most burdensome way, but it's like, okay, you can do it super simple here, but there's some things you can do to make it where it's not quite as simple as what the law allows, but it's gives more checks and balances, more being a little more thorough without adding an asinine amount of work to something.
Right.
Like getting the three bids when you don't have to. Making sure we're rotating contracts in every 3 to 5 years for review. Just that.
Yeah, and it's usually done in a pretty good fashion. I mean, I can't.
We try to keep up on that. I mean, that's just one of those. And once you do it enough times, then it just kind of becomes standard procedure and you don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's been pretty good about it, except it's been a hard time getting three for a while. Since COVID, I think most,
Yeah.
But we always try. Sometimes we just got to record, reach out to these folks and nobody responded.
Yeah. No. No, and I appreciate the bids. I do. I like to see that. And
we're not doing any changes to our exemptions, which is what allows us to do some things that without having to go through all of the procurement process, which starts on page 86 of the giant packet. The one that I just need to point out, we use a lot, is on page 87, exemption E-8, copier. That's probably the one we use. E-8 and E-12 are probably the two we use out of those.
Oh.
More than anything. Because with these exemptions, now we don't have to go through a competitive process every time.
Yeah.
But, like I said, these are the same as they are today. They have not changed at all. Oh, and E15. Gary likes to use E15 because that's the purchase of used vehicles and stuff like that. He does do that.
Well, and Gary always comes and says, okay, we're going to Lane County, we're going here, we're going there, and want to set aside X amount of dollars if we find something and if we don't.
We've made a lot of strides over the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, better incorporating processes so we're following the rules. When I first started here, wasn't as good as it could have been. We weren't breaking the laws, but it was just real pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't, developed the pieces that we needed to make life simpler. Yes.
I remember the purchase of a truck that went back because nobody knew anything about it. It was like, oh, and somebody did find out about it and said, oh, gosh, I forgot to ask anybody about that, and it went back. So it happened.
But there was a roller, too, that did the same thing before my time, but Public Works didn't.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where we added other things in that we didn't need to make sure we're getting that check, you know, that check, that capital expenditure plan, for example. That's part of why that came into fruition, was getting those things before, so we didn't have to remember, did we or didn't we?
Yeah.
It's in here, it's been before.
Yeah, no, and that's, I certainly appreciate that. It's called transparency, and the council knows, and I think that's great.
And then, now, so for this one, it's going to be a little more of a, there's more of a formal process. So once this goes to council, there'll be an ordinance to enact it. It's got to be adopted by ordinance. And the council has to have a joint hearing with the public contracting agency.
Yes.
Because the council is serving both roles. So it'll be a little.
I remember her talking about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the right term I'm trying to say, but basically, we'll have to advertise that it, it is a joint meeting. And, So. So that can be adopted, correctly. And that's at that point in time, is if anybody has issues with our exemption, that's when they can raise issues, that kind of stuff. This does not change any of the city's, because the city has set expenditure levels for staff. This doesn't change any of that. That all stays the same.
Yep. Works for me. Any more questions, Sandy?
No, it's probably not at this time. I was just wondering about, and it has nothing to do with this, since it is finance and judiciary, that if we did a little more with our fines and things, I think those were pretty lenient, and I don't know if we even have tickets being handed out for dogs that are out over and over again. I was thinking about revenue for the city, but we have a very kind judge, and I think Judge Fishburne would roll over in his grave.
Fine.
That we maybe need to, I'm just off the wall to thinking about ways of helping the city bring in more money.
Well, would that be a discussion maybe with public safety, or?
Well, it's kind of finance.
I don't know.
It would be.
Maybe go over, review that kind of stuff. I don't know, Jason.
Well, there's a difference between setting the fine levels and having.
Well, maybe nobody else.
Whether the fines are used or not. It's kind of two different discussions.
And nobody else may feel the same way that I do.
When does the judge do her annual check-in?
In the next 2 months. So it could be January, could be February.
Oh.
So maybe at that point then, that might be a conversation just to have with her.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, because I know that years ago there was, a dog got out, okay, don't let this happen again. And then after the second or third time, then it was like $50 or $60, I think. Because then the police department was continually picking up the dogs.
Yeah, and they said they have licenses, but they...
Well, that we talked about that, or they talked about
that. Yeah, it was kind of messed up. Nobody seemed to know, really.
Yeah, but they said, well, we sell dog licenses, but nobody knew anything about it.
And...
When you say nobody knew anything about it, meaning...
I didn't know we did that.
Both sides from...
But...
Sure, okay.
That's what I mean. It's like...
We get people come into City Hall regularly and get dog licenses.
Well,
the police department keeps the record of who has what.
And they have to have proof of their shots and things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or pay a higher fee.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, it definitely encourages.
Oh, I was surprised that they even allowed it without having their shots.
Okay. Well, see, that makes it. Okay. That answers that question, doesn't it?
But yeah, as far as code, that enforcement, that's probably, I would say probably it's going to be a two-fold discussion. I would say public safety as far as what the police department is doing, and then what the judge is doing at her level.
At her level, okay,
That would be my suggestion,
shooting
from the hip on that.
Yeah, but that would make sense. But yeah, let's talk about it. Find out where did it stop, when it didn't matter, or Because, like I say, they're...
Well, and are our fees really recouping the cost to run the kennel?
Exactly. Yep.
Just stuff like that, digest.
Well, and then on the last check thing that Mike sent, there was a pretty good hefty bill from Countryside for a pup. And it's those kind of things. Who pays for that? How does that kind of come out at the police department? You know, it's like, so if you had fines, then maybe that could be put in that pot. I don't know.
Yeah, there's an animal control line in their budget or animal regulation expenses. But yeah, and it generally doesn't have a ton of dollars in it, not to the level of...
Exactly, yep.
What we're seeing there. Yeah, I guess I'll just leave that there at that. But yeah, it could use a whole relook.
Yeah.
And what we do, how we do it.
Yep.
Because right now, at least my understanding is that let's say we pick up a dog in there and it ends up going to Greenhill. We incur an expense for that too.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, it's just looking at these things, making sure we have in place what we need to recoup.
And there's sometimes a dog going to get out or stuff, but it seems like a lot of times it's just like, hey, this dog, this is the seventh or eighth time, and everybody knows his name. And,
Hop in.
And
Bob.
Obviously they're doing something wrong if that.
Right. And I do know that anybody that got their dog picked up years ago, they got fined. They were real careful about fixing the fence or making sure the gate was closed. So that didn't happen.
And the puppy didn't get hit by a car or something.
I've got a chocolate that comes and visits me probably a couple of times a month. I know exactly where she lives. And she's like, I'll walk you back home.
Okay. Yeah.
And, someone gets in a hurry in the morning and leaves the back gate open.
Yeah. And it's like, that would be a good deterrent and to get that fixed.
Get it back in the backyard. I shut the gate more than that.
There used to be one back when my daughter was here years ago. Before she was 21, she was community service officer. So they checked for house checks when people were on vacation, and doors and whatever, and dog control. And they lived a couple miles out of town. And their dog would run in and into town. And so they picked it up and took it home a couple times for nothing. And then after that, when the dog would see that police car, when it was in town, it would just wait for the door to open on whichever one it was. It knew it was getting a ride home, but the rides got expensive, and they finally decided they need to put a lock, fix the latch on the gate.
Yeah, Cahill's lived right down the street from us, and their dog was out continually. Jim would get that dog and bring it in. He said, hey, Chief. Well, get it together.
Did you see on TV the one that got hit the other night?
No.
In Eugene? I'm an animal lover, but this guy was talking about his dog got hit on the street in front of their house, and their dog was running loose. And he said, my wife and my kids seen it happen. The guy broke the law. What happened is the guy had a truck, whoever was driving by, had like some kind of a work wagon, or not a wagon, a trailer, a covered trailer, and it ran into the trailer, so he probably didn't even know he hit it, because it was the backside and you would see the dog. And the dog rolled out, and they're interviewing him, and he's talking about this guy broke the law because he didn't stop when he hit the dog, and the guy, somehow they told the guy, and he was sorry, and he said, I'm willing to pay half of the bill. And the guy, I think, was wanting all the bill paid, but I thought, if your dog had been on that leash, there wouldn't be that problem. That's the reason for that leash law, is to save them, because I'd throw a person out there under the car before I'd throw a dog.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
Well, we walk our boxer every night, and there's times we run across people that don't have their dogs on a leash, and it's like...
Yeah.
And you don't know
how... Whatever,
Well, I know my boxer rather well, and I'm awfully sure she would have got the best of him.
Exactly.
It becomes a chew toy.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Exactly.
Mine was on a leash or even not.
Yep.
Okay, so if you guys are comfortable with it, I will go ahead and move this one forward to...
Yeah, that sounds good,
January
Jason.
January or February.
Kind
of, you know, what the bit, you know...
Sure.
...time is.
Okay. Agenda forecaster. Mr. Crocker?
Oh, you want me to say something about it?
Well, yes, please.
A handful of things on here that have probably have my name on them. So, and things that this committee has directed me to work on. So I'm planning on the next few months, I would anticipate you'll start seeing those come along.
Good.
The judge's contract, I think, needs to be looked at, and there's some RFPs in here. So there's some healthy things that need to, be worked on. So
sounds good. What happened with the revolving loan thing? Did that move forward?
Council packet.
It is
just about ready to be signed.
Good.
The loan docs are in your packet.
Perfect. Okay.
So I've already talked to the applicant. He's already reviewed the documents. In fact, he got back to me a couple hours ago. He's fine with them. So
good.
If council is okay with the documents that were drawn up by legal, then which I've reviewed, they look pretty good. Pretty
good.
Complete. So.
Yahoo.
I don't anticipate any hangups.
Good.
But I think we'll be issuing that check. As soon as we can get closing scheduled, so after council.
Great. Good. That's good news.
One in.
Boy, 10 years or.
Well, since one is signed.
God, it's probably been longer than that, huh?
Yeah. I think the last one was.
I can't even.
Before my time, so it had to be prior to 2010.
Yeah, and it was not. I don't know if there was.
I think so.
Wasn't there something during the pandemic?
Was there one?
No.
No?
The one
no.
That's now on West 11th, that they were at the corner of 6th and Ivy.
God.
The motocross one.
Yes, and they moved to Eugene.
West 11th,
yeah. And that was no provisions for that, because I know Jordan and I worked on that. But if you moved out of town, pay up, and that never, it was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that was bad.
I think that was the last one.
Gosh.
That I can recall.
Okay, so maybe it's been 10 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And before that was the Pollen Media, one of the drug. Yeah, that was where Max Borders is now.
Yeah.
And that was 08.
Wow. How time flies. Nope, that's great news. Anything else anybody would like to add? Mike, you got anything?
No.
Okay. We will adjourn this meeting. Thanks, Jason.
Yep.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Mike.
Probably at some point, I don't know, probably be this committee, but bringing...